40, verse 29, Isaiah 40, 29. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But, verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That word faint we saw, or that word faint here in verse 31, means weak. It means weak, it means anemic, it means no energy. I think we've all kind of sensed that, or all have probably experienced that in our lives, where you just kind of get down for whatever, maybe a little sickness or allergies or cold. But then it gets in verse 29, he, God, giveth power to the faint. What an amazing statement that is. So it's God again, that simply when we're in that, that kind of condition where we're a little weak, we're a little under the weather, we're anemic, we're maybe no energy, then God comes through and it simply says that he giveth power to those that faint. In a source that I use a lot of times in word studies is the Dictionary of Etymology, and that's a really interesting book that tells you kind of like the origin of words, how they got started, and sometimes you can use that to try to springboard off of how that word came to be used and what it means and that sort of thing. And so in the Dictionary of Etymology, faint, the word faint means to fall into a swoon, to lose vision, to lose purpose, to be sluggish, to be feeble. So pretty much what we said, but it kind of gives you an idea of what that means. And so Scripture tells us again in these verses that are familiar to us, he giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. So it really paints a kind of a gloomy picture there about young people that are youth. You don't just have to be senior citizen, elderly, of an age, but it kind of paints a picture for mankind. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now last week we looked at that word wait, W-A-I-T, but they that wait upon the Lord. And most generally you've heard from other people that have interpreted that verse that wait means just give it time and this shall come to pass. Wait means to many people we've heard our whole life that just wait and just chill, just take it easy. The Lord knows, he'll get you out of this. And so we've heard that all of our whole life, but my understanding of the word wait, it don't mean to do nothing. It don't mean to just set aside and just wait until you get that strength back, or no. So we get the word wait from the word waiter, like a waitress, waiter, combination waiter, and that's where that word comes from. And it is means that when we're weak or we're down or we're feeling a little discouraged or distressed, it simply means stay busy, be a waiter. If you're like me, you've been to a restaurant where they have full service restaurants, you want the waiter that attends to you, that notices you, that takes care of you, that simply waits on you, does their job, keeps your water filled, bring you tea when you want to, bring your order out the way you ordered it. They wait on you. They go out of their way to help you. I never forget, we was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, doing something, and was at a place, and we asked for a certain sweet tea, something like that. I think it's sweet tea. And the waiter said, we don't have it, but I'll go get you some. And so next thing I know, he has sweet tea. I said, what do you do? He actually ran across the street and bought it over there and brought it to you. Now, that's a waiter. That's a waiter. That's a guy that attends to the needs of a customer. And so those that wait. So when you're waiting and you're down or you're weak or you feel a little sluggish or you feel like you're just not into it And hey, just stay busy serving others. We talked about it last week. You've got to be busy serving others. You've got to be busy loving others. You've got to be busy finding somebody you can help and assist and put your arm around them, a love on them. And I'll tell you, you'll get more strength out of that. You'll simply gather your strength because you're serving others. Got your mind off of you. Got your ideas off of poor little old me and helping someone else, reaching out to someone else. And the Bible says in verse 21, shall renew their strength. He'll renew your strength. See, God created us to be well-rounded, to be busy, to not become stagnant. And we can do that if we'll follow verse 31 and just be busy, be aware, just tending to other people. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. In the Bible, you've noticed it, but in the Bible, many times God compares. He likens Christians as different things. We're likened as branches on a vine. We're likened as trees by a river. We're likened as runners in a race or lights on a hill. But here in Isaiah, we're likened as eagles. God compares, the analogy is that he says that, hey, like eagles. And so he likens Christians to eagles. Of all the winged creatures, eagles are in a class all by themselves. Eagles are known as the national bird, the ruler of the skies. They are magnificent. They're majestic. They're mysterious. Their wingspan of a grown eagle is at least 7 foot wingspan. And as you notice, and we talked about it last week, but as you notice an eagle in the air, in the skies, in the heavens, they're so beautiful that you almost can't get your eyes off of them as they just with grace, they just glide through the heavens. And they leave us spellbound. Eagles, their image has simply been plastered on our coins, our emblems, our seals, flags, towns, mascots, eagles. When you say eagles, it does something. It gives you that energy. It gives you that strength. It talks about bravery. It talks about courage. Just seeing an eagle on something. Eagles are the international sign of freedom and strength, immortality, authority. And our verse says for this morning, they shall run. And be not weary. And they shall walk and not faint. In a world that seems so upside down, a world that seems like we're outnumbered, a world that seems like we're the minority, and a world that just we wonder sometimes, you know, do we even have a chance? Well, maybe we need some eagle traits. Maybe we need some characteristics of the eagle, since God simply makes an analogy between Christians and eagles. Eagles are known to be invincible, powerful, strong. They also have a weakness, and we're going to talk about that weakness this morning. So stay with me. I think it'll be a help to you. In the bulletin, there's a little outline there. You can fill it in if you'd like to. But number one, let's talk about eagles, and let's talk about the battles that eagles face. Like we as Christians, it's a battle. It's an everyday battle, and so do eagles. They battle different things. We're going to talk about that this morning. Number one, the storms that come upon them. The storms that they come upon eagles. As strong, as powerful, as beautiful as eagles are, they suffer conflict in life. While alone in the heavens, eagles, they sense something that's not right. It's just part of nature. Maybe the humidity, maybe the barometer, maybe the darkness from the clouds, no rain, maybe lightning, but they sense something, and a lot of times it has to do with wind. In Matthew 7, Jesus talks about building a solid foundation. During storms, you'll be glad you had a solid foundation, Jesus tells us. He said, when the rains come, he said, when the floods come, He said, when the wind blows, you better be built on the rock, the solid foundation. And Jesus gave that story to us in the Gospel of Matthew. And now we're going to talk about it, how it affects eagles and how it affects us as Christians. So we all understand storms. You've been saved, you didn't have it all. You know it's not rosy, it's not hunky-dory, it's not like everything's just always okay. No, we all face storms. The Bible tells us that over and over. We understand storms are just a part of life, a part of this journey on earth. Storms are here. Storms like midnight hours. You get that call at midnight. Storms like being in the valley of decision, where you have to make a decision that's life or death, maybe. Valleys such as unanswered questions in the world that we live in. No doubt some people are probably gotten questions about why. About uncertainties of life where everything seems to be fine and then it's not. And you start wondering, like, what's going on? How did this happen? What got us here? So, with that in mind, we're talking about eagles. An eagle with a 7-foot wingspan has built-in fin flaps, they're called. But once put in motion, they're in the skies, and they begin to understand through nature something's not right, something's going on, and the storm is starting to brew underneath them or around them. And all of a sudden, they got this secret weapon called fin flaps. And when they put those into action, and lo and behold, the experts of eagles tell us that this shoots the eagle straight up in the air, above the storms. They get above the storms, is what eagles do. This is called wind tunnels, where they're that 7-foot wingspan, and then these fin flaps go up in the right direction, and then that gust of wind above those storms simply just allow that bird, that eagle, that majestic creature, just to simply get above the storm, out of the storms, and get above the storms. Just the creative nature of our Creator, who allowed that creature, that eagle, to be created with that. And those eagles arise, go above, get away from the storms. In like manner, God will direct you and I above the storms of life, above the cares of this world, by the wind current of the Holy Spirit. We've got the Comforter. We've got the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. And it's the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that indwells in us, that gives us that peace and direction and that calmness when conflict or storms are going around us. And the Bible says in verse 31, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Hey, church family, hey, we don't have to be bogged down in drama. No, no, no. Let's arise above the storms of life. Let's trust our comforter. Let's trust the third party of the Holy Spirit. Let's trust the Holy Spirit in our lives to allow us to get through storms when they come. The second thing we see is not just the storms that come upon eagles, but secondly, the situations that surround eagles. With every storm, there's a situation. With every storm, there's a culprit. With every storm, there's other players, most generally. And so the situations that surround eagles. Eagles come from the same bird line as falcons, hawks, condors. However, these three related species of birds just mentioned, they all get along beautifully, but they are all enemies of the eagle. They despise the eagle. They're haters of eagles. And so, the experts tell us that these three will gang up. They will bully the eagle. They will come and try to get in his way as he's gliding through the heavens. They will pounce on the eagles. They will get in groups and bully and scratch and peck and it's the situations that surround eagles. Eagles can weigh up to 40 pounds. Eagles can fly, talked about last week, 100 miles per hour. They can dive from the heavens 150 miles per hour. Now that's getting it. I mean, think about that bird. However, a falcon, they can dive, you ready? They can dive 225 miles per hour. They're so fast. The falcon is so fast that our creative creator swirled their nostrils so that as they're diving 200 plus miles per hour, that they don't simply get the G-force that causes going so fast in such a small time of period of time, it would simply put their brain to sleep. But our created God did that. I mean, that's what he did with them fin flaps. That's what he does with curling the nostrils of those falcons. And so you just start reading this or studying this, you're more like, man, what a great God we serve. And so the takeaway is eagles who can dive 150 miles an hour are no match for those, the enemy, the falcon, who can dive faster than that. But remember when you got saved? Remember when you got saved and you joined the church and you was all excited about your new church family and man, you thought everybody's going to be happy for me and everybody's going to be supportive of our family. Everybody's going to be glad. You see, the truth is most family, most friends are happy you got saved. They're happy that you're happy for joining the church. They're okay with that. But just don't go overboard. Just don't invite them every single week. Just don't cancel a luncheon or a dinner or an outing because, you know, it's on Sunday and you can't go because they liked you before, but now that you're saved or now that you're a Christian or now that you're involved, then all of a sudden you're not as fun. All of a sudden you messed up their plans because you can't go. And all of a sudden, man, it's like that. Situations that surround them, they surround us. You face that, I face that. Bullied by the family, all y'all do is talk about church. All y'all do is go to church. And what happens is it's like those hawks or those condors or those falcons. They're haters of eagles, and they're pouncing on them. They're bullying them. They're hating them. Hey, they're smothering them out. They're backbiting them. Eagles are peacemakers. Eagles just want to live by themselves. Eagles just want to do their thing. Eagles just simply are in a class by themselves. And they really aren't good in groups. And so when the family shows up, the hawks, the falcons, the condors, and they begin their tactics, the eagle ignores them. The eagle decides to get away from them, and he goes directly, flies just due north, straight above, and he just simply goes to the sun, goes to the sun. Eagles are the only birds, the only fowls who have mucous membranes that are covered by what is built in three separate eyelids that actually open from the bottom, unlike ours is from the top. And one of those eyelids are like a sunglass that we would call a solar panel that simply comes up and simply allows that bird, that eagle, that creative fowl that God created to simply look right into the sun, right into the sun, and simply get out of the range of these haters, of these bullies, of these situations that surround them, unlike anything else. And eagles will get around that group, and they'll want to get away from them, and they'll fly full force into the sun, leaving enemies in the clouds. You and I, we have our share of situations, as you know, in life. Death of a loved one. Pink slip from our job. Maybe failing health. Psalm 103. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, thy youth renewed thy eagles. There it is. There'll be references in the scripture about Christians and eagles. How it's the God of heaven, our Heavenly Father, that allows us to have that strength. The best thing any of us can do when we're facing situations that surround us, things that are out of our control, things that'll keep us held back, things that will keep us bogged down, the best thing we can do, and you know this is no secret, is just keep our eyes on Jesus and draw closer to not the S-U-N, but draw closer to the S-O-N. Get away from the enemy. Get away from the situation. Keep your eyes on Jesus. People will fail you. Jesus never fails, and you know that. So number one, the storms that come upon them. They're eagles are, you know, they have their share of storms. Secondly, the situations that surround them, that's enemies, that's even the same family. And then thirdly, the struggles that go on within them. All right, here's a most important part of the message. I want you to listen on purpose this morning. Maybe teach you something you never heard. Eagles who are mighty, eagles who are magnificent, eagles who are marvelous and majestic, are the only birds, you ready, are the only birds clinically proven that go through depression. Who ever thought that would happen? They go through a depression time in their life. It's about year five, when eagles are 5 years old. They simply, both male and female, they go through a time and event called the molting period, the molting process. Eagles leave the open skies that they're known for. They come to earth that they don't only go to earth to get stuff to build their nest and to feed their young. Other than that, they're just in the high places, as you know. But at the five-year mark of an eagle, they come to earth. And they come. They don't soar anymore. They're on earth. They're at ground zero. They're not gliding. They're not attracting the onlookers and people that are amazed and of how they fly. All of a sudden, they're on the ground and they're useless. All of a sudden, they're on the ground and they're powerless. All of a sudden, they're on the ground and they feel like they're no use. They don't fly. They don't hunt. They don't soar. They don't glide. They're stagnant. Now remember, Scripture compares. The analogy is comparable to Christians as eagles. Last year, drug companies sold $11 billion in antidepressants. As many as one in every five child deemed clinically depressed. If you're here this morning and you've never experienced depression, you're blessed. The eagle struggles. He's lost his altitude. He's lost his appetite. He no longer owns the skies. So while he's earthbound, he starts to walk. He wasn't made to walk. He was made to fly. But now he's on earth and he's walking. Because he's not used to walking, his feet swell. And calcium deposits take over his talons and his beak, and he begins to lose his feathers. He's miserable. He's ugly. He's irritable. He's faint. He's weary, just like Isaiah tells us. It's hard for him to breathe. He don't eat right. The eagle's subdued. He's held back. He's moping. He's starving. He's hungry. He's wondering. When all of a sudden, don't miss it. When all of a sudden, there's a sound of eagles above them. That's stagnant, depressed, weary, faint, eagle looks up into the skies. He sees the eagle brotherhood have come to the rescue. Dropping meat, nutrients, food. In eagle talk, those eagles are communicating with their brother who's on the ground, who's in the molting period, who's going through that time of depression that all eagles understand because they've all been through it. And an eagle tongue, they're swarming, they're flying over, they're dropping nutrients and food and meat to simply get his strength up, and they're screaming in eagle talk, "Hey, you're an eagle, get up." They're screaming in eagle talk, "Hey, you're an eagle, you need to fly. Hey, you're an eagle. Hey, God's created you. You can do it. You can do this. You can join us." They're saying, say goodbye to depression. Say goodbye to the molting period and process. Hey, say goodbye. Don't settle. Don't settle for being an earthling. Don't settle for being a barnyard liver when you were made to the depressed eagle begins to eat that meat, begins to eat that those nutrients that his brotherhood sent him. He begins to get stronger while he's on earth. He begins to shed old dead feathers. He begins to scrape his talons and sharpen them and rid of the calcium deposits that's built up. He does the same thing with his beak. He begins to scrape it against a rock. He begins to scrape that calcium buildup deposit off. Man, he wants to be strong again. He's getting his strength back. He wants to be stable. He wants to be sturdy. And the eagle gets his spunk back. He gets his strength back. He gets his hope back. He gets his understanding back that he's an eagle. He begins to make his way up into the mountains. He finds him a rock. And he goes up as far as he can. Verse 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, shall run and not be weary." You see, he understands that he was made to soar. He understands that he was made to dominate the heavens. He understands that he was made to simply get up there and do what eagles do that nobody else can do. I'll never forget in seminary, my favorite part of seminary for the years I was there was chapel service. They always had the best speakers from across the country come to chapel. And they introduced a guy by the name of Ted Traylor. I'd never heard of Ted Traylor. Ted Traylor came. He wasn't a real tall guy. He was just an average built guy. He had red hair, and he came, and he was going to be our speaker for the day. He pastored a church called the Olive Baptist Church of Pensacola. He told this story in chapel. I'll never forget. He had invited a local African-American pastor, preacher, evangelist, to preach in their church, the Mount Olive Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. The week after he had his guest speaker in, Brother Taylor received an anonymous letter. Here's what the anonymous letter said, according to Brother Traylor there at seminary at Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary. He said this. He said the letter came, "If you ever invite another blank to preach in this church, I'll burn your house down." Of course, anonymous letter. So Brother Traylor, he ignored the letter. He invited not only the same African American to come back, but invited him to bring his all black American or African American choir with him. I knew when I heard that, I already liked this guy. Right? I already liked him. And so they had the whole service. The next week after they left, Brother Traylor's wife received an unexpected letter addressed to Jezebel, return address, Legion. Needless to say, this went on for months. Family got discouraged, of course. They thought about resigning. They thought about quitting. Three close men within the body of the church showed up at their house one night and knocked on the door. Hey, Pastor. Over the years, as you preached to our church as our pastor, he said, just throughout sermons and sermon illustrations, he said, we've noticed that occasionally you would always refer to the cool artesian water well from your home in Alabama, and you would talk about when things got rough or things got weary or things got hard, you'd talk about that. You'd go to that place and you'd take a drink of that cool, fresh water from that artesian well there, your hometown of Northern Alabama. He said, the three men came and said, Preacher, we love you. We hate what's going on in our church. But we made a trip today to your hometown. We met with your dad. We told him while we was there, could he take us to that very spot? And he said, so we brought to you tonight a jar of that water that came out of that artesian well. We just want to know that we love you. We want to know that we support you. We want to know that God called you here and we support you. We're behind you 100%. And we just thought, man, what can we do? Here's what we can do. We'll go and get some of that water he always talked about that gave him some refreshment that simply allowed him to simply be on top and to say, look, man, there's nothing better than this. Isn't God good? Oh, and he said, and the three men said, we want to give this jar of water to you. But also, you talked about an area that you went, and it was a rocky area. You told us about it. You explained it in your sermon illustrations. And so your dad took us to that place, and we chiseled out a piece of that rock. And we have it right over here in the front of your yard. Now, you see right there? He said, so we brought that. As a matter of fact, we remember you tell us that's where God called you to preach. You were just doing devotions. You were just praying to God. And that's where you'd go to that big rock area. We chiseled off a piece of rock there. And we brought it here along with that jar of water. And hey, we simply came so that we can simply put you and your wife and your family on that rock. We want to surround you. We want to pray for you. We want you to know we love you. We want you to know we feel like God's called you. We want you to do what God's called you to do. We want to stand with you. We want to support you. They were doing not eagle talk. They were doing body talk from our body to your body. Hey, we need you. You need this strength. You need this help. You need someone to put their arm around you. You need someone to believe in you. That's what they were doing. Hey, that's what eagles do. The Eagle Brotherhood flies around. Hey, that's one of us. We got to go to the rescue. Hey, he's one of us. God's created him. He's not good anymore. We've been through it. We've been through the molding grid. We've been through that process. And we've gotten down. We've gotten discouraged. And we've given up all hope. And someone comes together. And that's exactly what they did. The storms, the situations, the struggles affect us all. Let me encourage you as a pastor of the Spratly Baptist Church and Porter, don't throw your hands up and quit. Whatever you're going through, it's just temporary. It shall come to pass. Can I just remind you a couple things? Boy, you're a child of the King. You're a joint heir with Christ. You were made to represent supremacy. That's what Christians are. The best of the best, the ones that have it all going on for us. Don't mean it's going to be easy. Don't mean that we're not going through a molding period. Hey, can I just tell you, Jesus said the greatest man ever born of woman was a man by the name of John the Baptist. In John's later years, he was behind bars in jail. He baptized Jesus. Man, he preached the word in the wilderness. I mean, he was a man set apart. Jesus said he's no man born of woman greater than him. He's at the end of his life behind jails for preaching the gospel, and he asked somebody, he said, is Jesus the real God, or should we look for another?
Don't ever think you're too spiritual to get down. Don't ever think that, hey, if you ever have a thought that maybe I'm not saved, or maybe I'm discouraged, maybe this is not real. No, no, no. It happens in all aspects of life. Hey, what you need, what I need. We need some brother, some sister, some church, somebody to come beside us, put their arm around us. They build us up, encourage us, give us words, and simply say, hey, you've got this. Hey, God's going to use you. God's got some plan for you. Hey, we've been forgiven. We're highly favored. Don't stay down. Don't stay depressed. Don't stay discouraged. Don't be a ground dweller, a nest settler average. No, 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 no. Hey, we're Christians. And God sent His Son to die for you and I. So that not only do we have life, but we have more abundantly. God wants the best. For you and you and you and me, God wants the best for us. Don't be average. Don't settle. Don't give up. Hey, if you're not discouraged this morning, if you're not down this morning, find someone that is. And if they come to you and they're a little mopey, they come to you and they're a little saddened, they come to you and they're a little anemic, hey, put your arm around them. Hey, look them straight in the eye and tell them you love them. What can you do? And simply go out your way. That's the analogy that we get from first or from Isaiah 40.
Amen.
Let me read it. We'll pray. But they that wait on the Lord, here goes, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let's bow our heads. Hey, don't settle. Don't be average. Don't just be one of the ones that join the crowd. Step above it. Go above it. Do what God calls you to do. Love the Lord with all your heart. Love others like He's asked us to love others. You win. Church wins. Community wins. Great Commission wins. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the analogy of evil. We thank you for men like Ted Traylor, who had men around him, church around him, folks around him that loved him, believed in him, lifted him up. Thank you for those that held Moses in that. Thank you for those in Scripture that was always a blessing and an encourager like Barnabas. Lord, help us to go through this world loving others, encouraging others, helping others, investing in others, and gets our mind off of our situation. Gets us busy being a waiter, attending, meeting, serving others. Lord, help us to be eagles. Help us to be Christian eagles. Lord, for that we'll thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. The room's going to lead us an invitation. If we can help you anyway, we're here for you, all right?
Jesus, who is calling. Calling for you and for me.
God loves you. Jesus died for you.
See your importance. He's great.
Don't settle. God's got big plans for you.
Watching
for you
and for me. Come home. Here you are, really. Come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling your sinner. Come home.
Thank you so much for your attention today. God bless you. Hey, next Sunday, unless the Lord changes my mind, then it's